Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tuesday mornings, it's time to spend a little time with Chris Powell. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Ray.
Writes a column for the Journal Inquirer.
Still.
So you know, we get a rundown every morning. Joey puts this thing together. And apparently, I don't know if you had autofill going or something, but you're a communist for the Journal Inquirer. Did you know that?
I've heard that. I've been called worse.
You commie. Okay, then. Where do you want to start? Let's go back to Inauguration Day, which was just a week ago. Wasn't it a week ago? I'm trying to remember. Things kind of blur together.
Almost a week ago.
Yeah. And Ned Lamont came in, and I you know, heard a couple of his speeches, and I thought, you know, he was really good, conciliatory. Hey, let's all work together. Let's try and get this done. And so I came away from it feeling pretty good. But I don't know. You beg to differ to a degree?
Well, you're a communist.
Tovarich.
No, I just thought that, you know, it didn't really set us out on any path that's going to be useful. You know, good fellowship and all that stuff is
right.
Very nice, but you know, that $2 will buy you a cup of coffee. And you know, the state is in desperate circumstances, Ray.
Right.
And this giddy gush that we got, not just from the new governor, but from others, starting
right.
Really with the invocation at the State Armory. It just struck me as the wrong tone to set.
Yeah.
Was not the the tone that you know, Winston Churchill set when Britain was at stake in 1940. I think it was,
no.
We came out of that that inauguration with really nothing but a nice party, and you know, where are we now? We're still billions in deficit, and so much of what state government does just does not achieve its nominal objectives. I wish the governor had addressed things a little more directly.
But I, you know, one of the things, Chris, though, that I found nice about this, or somewhat refreshing, and maybe the other, you know, may governors have done it, you know, Jody Rell, maybe, you know, John Rowland, even maybe Governor Malloy. Former Governor Malloy. But I mean, the point is, he was at least a little positive. You know what I'm saying? He was kind of saying, okay, we're Connecticut. We can get through this thing. I don't mind that. I kind of like that.
Well, you know, saying we can get through it and specifying how we're going to get through it or what has to be done to get through it are two different things.
True.
I don't think we're any farther along for the inauguration festivities than we were, you know, before them. In fact, the governor, the new governor, I don't think has said anything from his campaign right through the inauguration to give us an idea where he's
right.
Where he's going. He's been contradictory, I don't think he will say anything of any consequence until he's required to
budget address
his budget next month.
Yeah, and that it'll be interesting to see the reaction to that. Because as you pointed out, he's got a very, very full plate to deal with. He really does.
Yeah, you know, the first thing he's got to do, he's got to come up with, depending on how you want to count it, with $2 billion to $4 billion, either in new revenue or in spending cuts.
Which is going to be hard.
You know, which is, you know, 10% or more of the total budget. Now...
Well, what?
If we can do it, that's great. I hope he lets us know soon.
But the one thing that I thought, and maybe this is stupid, but it's true, and it's obvious, and it's clear. But, I mean, the fact is we're all kind of in this together. That I don't mind. You know, if we could work together, that would be just fine. It'd really help.
Well, I don't know that anybody ever denied that. It's just...
all right, platitudes,
you know,
who is,
you know, whom is government policy going to require more
right.
sacrifice from?
I
don't think anything was said on Inauguration Day that... either people didn't know or that meant anything
right.
in terms of policy, but maybe every governor's entitled to a month of just
love and happiness and
serious,
yeah.
But
all that stuff.
Those of us who are involved in the details here don't have to be impressed.
We're talking to Chris Pallas, our weekly visit. Well, kind of in a related thing, one of the things that you brought up was in one of the more recent columns, I think it was on the 9th, change just fooling as Lamont turns to holdovers. So that does that indicate to you that there might not be much in the way of change?
Well, certainly, insofar as it seems that half the Malloy administration is morphing into the Lamont administration, which is not terribly surprising, but insofar as that is happening, it certainly doesn't signal change. You know, the new governor really changed the whole direction of his campaign in late September when he started repudiating the Malloy administration, demanding change, and really was running directly against Malloy in some respects, and now half the Malloy administration is moving into the Lamont administration. You know, it doesn't mean that we can't change policies. It's a little ironic.
Okay, let's go to the most recent piece you did. Forget school aid formulas. In fact, we were talking to the Patrice from the Connecticut Association of Boards of Education or whatever it is, and we were talking about school aid. You know, where are we on that? And I guess the point there was that she was hoping there'd be a little, I don't know, cooperation or, if you will, collusion between a number of school districts perhaps to save some money. What do you think about that?
Well, there can, you know, always be more regionalism, and it'll save a little bit money. But regionalism, I think, Ray, is the the dodge that people who don't want to be really more efficient in government get into. You know, regionalism is when you know, you get rid of a school superintendent for one town, and you hire an assistant superintendent for a regional school district. There's really very little money to be saved there. The big money is in personnel policies, particularly the labor policies. And as long as we're going to have collective bargaining and binding arbitration for government employees in Connecticut, you're frankly moving most of government expense outside of the democratic process. And that's really the only way you're going to save any money is to examine those policies. Regionalism's not going to
Well, you can read that at journalinquirer.com. And then the final part of that particular piece, impeach for the shutdown, not collusion, not any of this Russian stuff that's going on. You're saying, look, if you want to get the guy, get him for shutting down the government.
Well, Article 2, Section 3 of the Constitution requires the president to take care that the laws shall be faithfully executed. Now, shutting down the government...
Part of it.
Yeah, right. Well, shutting down many functions of the government, including some critical functions, in order to try to extort your way on one function, it just strikes me as quite contradictory to that provision. If you've taken an oath to follow the Constitution says... take care that the laws are faithfully executed. Well, you know, shutdowns don't do that. And if Trump has precipitated the shutdown and is shutting down various functions in order to get his way on one thing, that strikes me as actionable.
I think it's unique, though. This has happened before, obviously, though not for this period of time. But I think part of it is just simply it's him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he's decided that he's going to get his way, or he's, you know, going to wreck the whole project.
Well, so have people on the other side.
Look, the people on the other side don't want any border security, but I suspect here, Ray, that I don't think Trump wants border security. He wants the border issue, and the Democrats on the other side, they don't want to legitimize the Dreamers, as they might be able to do by making a deal with Trump here. They want the immigration issue, too. I'm not sure either side's got clean hands.
And I think it's safe to say that he backed himself into a corner because one of the first proposals he made was, I'm building a wall. So if he doesn't do that, then all of a sudden, you know, there's a campaign promise broken.
Yeah, well, he's got other craziness to worry about.
All right. Hey, Chris, it's always good, buddy.
Okay, right.
Talk to you soon. Chris Powell is a columnist for the Journal Inquirer, journalinquirer.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.